Good morning, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. We take this opportunity to welcome everybody on the platform, the department, and all the revocrats representing the department on this platform. The minister will join us in the course of the meeting. Before we go into many other things, honorable members, our agenda for today is opening and welcome, apologies, adoption, briefing by the AG on the annual performance for 2021, briefing by the department on performance 2021, African Renaissance Fund briefing 2021, and then closure. It is my suggestion that item 5 and item 6, we deal with them together. That's the briefing by the department, annual performance 2021, and African Renaissance performance 2021. Do we all agree, honorable members?
Agreed, honorable chair.
Thank you very much. Do we have a mover for adoption of the agenda as amended?
Honorable Mpanza, I'm moving.
Thank you, Honorable. Thanks, Honorable Mpanza. Do we have a seconder?
Honorable Desmond Dimuela, seconds. Honorable Chair, thank you.
Thank you very much, DP, for seconding. That's our agenda for today, honorable members. We meet at a time when we have just come back from the local government elections. I hope we are recuperating gradually from the work that we had to do in the local government elections. The work doesn't end immediately after the local government elections, because after that, a lot of exercising our minds continues to be done until today based on the results. But what we can reaffirm as South Africa, in as far as the local government elections are concerned, is that we continue to be a democratic, transparent country. The people of South Africa continue to participate freely in the elections. Nobody's barred from exercising his or her right to choose individuals and parties of their choice. We can only we can also confirm that our elections went relatively well in as far as matters of stability are concerned. There were no major disruptions that the world could look at and say, we are incapable of running our own affairs. We can confirm that the IEC did its best based on the Constitutional Court injunction for them to make sure that we have a free and fair elections. Notwithstanding the challenges that they face with regard to introduction of new technology, by and large, everybody has accepted and applauded the work done by the Independent Electoral Commission. The observers that came, both from the within the country and elsewhere, have also confirmed that the elections in South Africa for local government went well in as far as matters of stability are concerned, and in as far as compliance with the Constitution of the Republic is concerned. So we applaud all the political parties that participated in the elections. We also applaud the electorates that participated in the elections. The South African state, I think, must also be applauded for making sure that the necessary peace prevails and security prevails during the elections. We are also meeting at a time, honorable members, I'm sure you have been making some observations when there are some disturbing developments in some parts of the African continent. Will not dwell much into them because that's not the subject for today. But the situation in Swaziland, in Sudan, in Ethiopia, and so on are some of the areas where we continue to pay attention to. And we applaud the department and the state of South Africa in general for continuing to play a role in making sure that stability returns to those particular countries. We hope that all the efforts that have been put in place to make sure that we play our role through different fora, be it the AU and other foras that are there, will yield necessary fruits that will make sure that the unity and stability of Africa is restored and Africa is able to play its international role in as far as issues of peace and stability, issues of the economy are concerned. So we applaud the executive, the minister, deputy ministers, your team, and those who are representing us in various countries across the globe to make sure that we are on par in as far as information circulation is concerned, for awareness and interventions where situation allows. We also applaud the state of South Africa for continuing to stick to the principle of us making sure that we don't necessarily meddle into other countries' affairs because we respect their sovereignty. That's why we stick to the platforms that are formally established to make sure that we share information, we advise, and where there's intervention agreed to, we intervene accordingly. So that's part of the situation under which we meet here today. But like I said, that's not the matter for today here. Administrator, can you give us some apologies if there are any?
Thank you so much, Chair. Good morning, Chair and honorable members. We have three apologies, Chairperson. The first two are from Deputy Minister Masha Khodlamini and Deputy Minister Waters. They are both attending cabinet committees. And also, we have Honorable Mishwe, who had initially logged in, but due to load shedding, he has been kicked out of the system. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Administrator. We take those apologies. We will now give the Office of the Auditor General an opportunity to present. I don't know who is representing the Office of the Auditor General. You can introduce yourself, introduce the team. After the presentation, we will then immediately engage on the presentation of the Auditor General. After that engagement, we proceed to the last two items and we discuss them together as agreed. Office of the AG, over to you.
Sorry, Chair. I had my hand raised.
Ndate Chetty, what's the issue? Yes, Honorable Chetty. Honorable Chetty doesn't seem to hear me. Can we proceed, Office of the Auditor General? We'll come back to Honorable Chetty.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, the Minister, as well as the colleagues from the Department and ARF. Chair, my name is Poland Sokombela. I'm the Business Unit Leader from the Auditor General of South Africa, entrusted with the responsibility of overseeing this portfolio. The Department of International Relations and Cooperation and its entities. Chair, with me, I'm with Ms. Madidimalo Singo, who's a deputy business unit leader as well, who's assisting me also to ensure that we run the audit of this portfolio effectively as well. You can see her there on the picture in the video. And Chair, I also have Mr. Thabiso Kotegi Matladi, who's a senior manager who's responsible for the audit of this portfolio as well. Chair, the three of us, we will be doing the presentation jointly. We'll be sharing, in terms of how we're going to be delivering this briefing to yourself. And we really appreciate, Chair, this opportunity to be able to sit with you here today, as well as the honorable members, to share the audit outcomes of the portfolio, but most importantly, to engage with you in terms of then how we can support you as you prepare for the BRRR, you know, as Parliament. So I think it's very important that we recognize that. And also the key issue where we're sitting is also just to share with you in terms of then the root causes, you know, that are driving these audit outcomes. And also the recommendations also that we are sharing both with the DERCO, including the minister, as well as the recommendation that you are recommending to yourself as a committee. Marty, can you please go to slide number 2 for me? Yeah, as Marty is navigating the slides, Chair, I think it's very important for me to mention that as the Auditor General of South Africa, we've got a constitutional mandate. And as a supreme audit institution of the country, of the Republic, we exist to strengthen our country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through auditing, thereby building public confidence. And this is the reason why we are here at Chairperson today, is because we really want to come here to share with you in terms of then these insights and the root causes and the key messages, so that they can assist you then with information to be able, for you to be able to exercise your oversight as the portfolio committee. And it's important that I reflect on this slide in terms of our mission statement with the audit. Chair, we have worked very well with the department in the year under review. And also received a lot of support as well from the minister. We've met the minister a number of times, as well as the deputy ministers, where we have been engaging in terms of how the audit outcomes can be improved in the department. And also, even before we came to this session as well, I think we've had also a very fruitful engagement with the accounting officer, as well as the minister, to engage it and to talk in terms of how we can improve these outcomes. But if you can please go to slide number 10 for me, I'll appreciate that. Yes, as Madi is navigating through the slides, also to slide number 10, Chair, the key issue here is that, as you can see in the picture, is that the audit outcomes of DERCO remain unchanged if you see on the graph that is on the screen. But it's important to also know that where this portfolio is coming from over the years, because over the years, I think DERCO has had challenges, especially as it when it comes to financial management, the disciplines of financial management. We have been experiencing some challenges, especially on asset management. You know, over the years, DERCO has been all receiving a qualification on assets, as well as legislation is one of the areas DERCO also is struggling. And most recently, I think for the past 2 years, we're seeing now DERCO also struggling with an item in its financial statements, which is a disallowance account, which is a result of reconciliations, I think, that they're supposed to be doing, also is bank accounts, which also result then in this qualification. When we were here in the portfolio committee last year, this is one of the qualifications that we had. This is one qualification that I think we had after DERCO has managed to address that qualification that they have on assets. So last year they were left with this matter. They have tried to work on it, Chair, this particular matter, because the misstatement at the time was about 180 million. And then the commitment last year then was to address this qualification. However, one of them, I think the audit action plan, I think that was not implemented on time. You know, but there's been a lot of effort that we have seen, and also from the accounting officer and also the acting CFO in terms of addressing this matter. So that misstatement, they reduced it substantially, I think, to about 70 something, a million, if I'm not mistaken. But unfortunately, it was still above materiality. But the commitment also then that we got from the accounting officer as well as the minister was that this is then will be an area of focus going forward. So this is then the state of affairs as far as the department is concerned. I've already touched on other areas that they are struggling with in terms of then findings on compliance with legislation, specifically supply chain management. There is some progress that we see there, but you know, we're still concerned about you know, the level of non-compliance in that area. The ARF, as you can see, we are very encouraged with this NDG because it has sustained its outcomes in terms of getting the clean outcomes and qualified with no findings. And this is an NDG where DERCO or the department can, you know, can look up to and ensure then that the best practices that they use, they can also be utilized at the department. I think that is the key issue that Chair just wanted to highlight. Chair, I've got Madi, who is going to unpack these matters further and provide more context than I do in terms of these audit outcomes. You know, so that you can be able then to engage afterwards. With your permission, Chair, I would like to hand over to Ms. Matitimalo Sengo.
No problem.
Thank you, sir. Madi?
Sure.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. And I would just like to first start by greeting the Honorable Minister, the Honorable Members and yourself, Chair, and the other colleagues that that are on the line. I think as I go through the portfolio overall message, it's important to just reflect on some of the areas that the previous presenter just dealt with, and that if we look at the audit outcomes of the portfolio, they have remained unchanged. DERCO has received a qualified audit opinion, and a qualified opinion with compliance on findings with legislation, with REF receiving a clean audit opinion. When we look at what are the drivers of the audit outcomes for the department, what we've noted is that to a large extent, the ones that are prevailing the most are around expenditure management, supply chain management, consequence management, as well as material errors or misstatements that have been identified in the financial statements that were submitted for auditing. When you look at this areas that the department is struggling with, we do note that these areas are recurring in nature, and it could talk to the effectiveness of the audit action plan that has been implemented by the department, as well as maybe the culture of consequence management is not exercised effectively. And we will further unpack our reasons or our observations with regards to these two areas. As the previous presenter indicated, that the department is struggling to resolve the prior qualification around current receivables. This is where we found that there was an account called Disallowance and Damages Account. And that account included items that could not be substantiated by valid and appropriate audit evidence that would give us a sense of satisfaction as the auditors that that account is free from error and material misstatement. As indicated, the department really did prioritize this particular area in their audit action plan, though the action plan was not implemented timely. It's important to note that the department actually sourced the services of a forensic investigation, and that forensic investigation was trying to assist them in drive in addressing this qualification area. However, as we can see with the audit outcomes, this did not have a positive impact, as the account still contains a material misstatement to the amount of 73 million. This, however, is a reduction from the 186 that was in the prior year financial statement. As the previous presenter indicated, that we have also received confirmation through our discussion with the minister and with the accounting officer that this is an area that the department is then going to continue. And we really commend the department for their effort and courage in the current year. And we really encourage them to continue in this area. Chair and honorable members, if we also then look at compliance with legislation, this remains a big area of concern for us when we're looking at the DERCO audit outcomes. And you will see that the department has continued to incur irregular expenditure. And when we're looking at the irregular expenditure, it's really in the area of procurement and contract management. We have seen an increase in the irregular expenditure in the current year from 19.3 million to 7.3 million. This is almost 100% increase when you compare it to the prior year. The increase in this irregular expenditure was really due to non-compliance with supply chain management practices. And the next presenter is then going to unpack what are the areas in supply chain management that the department is then continuing to struggle with. Having said that, Chair and honorable members, it's important to also note that the department has also tried to reduce the irregular expenditure incurred from prior years. We've seen this decreasing from 209 million in the prior year to 162 million. And this was due to the department taking a stance around cancelling some of the contracts, old contracts that had been declared as irregular. If we look at the consequence management within the department, I think it's important to first commend the Honourable Minister around implementing consequence management at the highest level within the department and thus promoting a culture of consequence management. However, what we have seen is that that has not necessarily translated or filtered down to the rest of the department. And part of the root cause or the reason that we say this is that we see that the irregular expenditure that has arisen from the 2017-18 and 18-19 and 19-20 has not been investigated. And for you to effect consequence management, you would need to first do an investigation into that irregular expenditure so that you can identify what are the root causes for the irregular expenditure, who needs to be held accountable for that irregular expenditure, and therefore then implement the consequence management. So in this area, to the extent that these investigations have not been done, we really urge the department to investigate all the irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And in this way, it will ensure that those that continue or the officials that continue to have a disregard for legislation and policies and procedures are then held accountable. And again, it is also important to note that where there is no consequence management, then there's a culture where people then just, or officials then just disregard compliance with legislation and policy and procedures. So we really want to urge the department that as they look at their action plan, one of the key priority areas that they look into is this issue of ensuring that the investigations are done and are completed And it's also important that the internal audit function within the department, as well as the audit committee, then play that oversight role in terms of implementation and monitoring of the action plan. If we move and we look at the performance information that has been reported by the department, we are happy to report that the department managed to produce an annual performance report that was useful and reliable. And that means from our perspective, we did not identify any material misstatements in terms of the reported performance. We also note that from a department perspective, when you look at the key programs for the department, especially around international relations and international cooperation, the percentage of what has been achieved, it's quite high at 83.33% and 80% respectively for this program. And we continue to encourage the department to focus on ensuring that they deliver on their mandate in terms of the strategic objectives that they've set for themselves. Chair, if I can maybe move on to just reflect on the audit outcomes of ARF. As I indicated, ARF has really managed to produce a clean audit. And what we've seen with ARF is that the things that they do that allow them or that give them the opportunity to achieve a clean audit outcome is that when it comes to the daily discipline around controls in financial management, monitoring compliance and performance, there is that discipline and that is consistently demonstrated throughout the year, and hence they're able to achieve these clean audit outcomes. And as they do this, we really urge them to really focus on ensuring that in terms of their mandate, they're also delivering the services to the citizens. And maybe one would need to also reflect on some of the other good practices that ARF has implemented. And that is when we look at the leadership culture, we've seen that they take the action to address the findings that are reported quite seriously, and they implement a consequence management. So this is a good practice that ensures that discipline and that accountability, it's there within the system of internal controls at the ARF. As I indicated, they are quite strong in terms of continuously implementing and reviewing and monitoring compliance or controls around compliance and financial management. Internal audit is also effective in terms of ensuring that they follow up on action plans. The audit committee is also effective in terms of the oversight role that they play. And I think from that perspective, Chair, what we would really want to encourage is some of these good practices that have been effected at ARF. We need to see those also being effected at the department, and we really urge the department to look into this area. If we look at a summary in terms of the key root causes that are driving the audit outcomes of the department, it is really around a slow response to improving key controls in the areas of financial discipline around performing reconciliations. And as I indicated, this is one of the areas that we think the department can really enhance. It is the issue of effectiveness of the audit action plan that has been implemented as well. Because that will ensure that there is quality of financial statements. So we're seeing that as one of the root causes. When we look at SEM compliance, the monitoring there can also be enhanced. So what we're seeing as a root cause is that there might be inadequate monitoring of processes at an SEM level. And obviously, the last point that we also look at in terms of the key root causes is the issue of consequence management, and especially to the extent that some of the irregular expenditure that has been identified has not been investigated. If we look at the recommendations, as the previous presenter indicated, we have engaged a lot with the accounting officer and the team and management at the department in terms of what is it that the department needs to do in order to improve this audit outcomes. And the key area that we do believe are the ones that can be prioritized by the department is what I'm going to outline next. And it's firstly having an implementation action plan that is implemented on a timely basis, and not only implemented on a timely basis, but also an action plan that looks at the root causes of the findings that we have reported, and then looks at how those root causes can then be addressed to ensure that there are no repeat findings. I think when we look at the SEM unit, I think it's important to enhance the review that is done there in terms of monitoring compliance with legislation. And we really do recommend that the department looks into this. The disallowance account, which has led to the qualification in the current year, we really, again, with the commitment from the accounting officer, also urge that the process of clearing this account be prioritized and it be enhanced in order to avoid another qualification in the following year. I've spoken about consequence management, and I think in our engagement with the accounting officer, it's important to note that the accounting officer was very adamant that the culture within the department is one thing that they are going to be focusing on as a department to really improve the culture of compliance with legislation as well as consequence management. So we really encourage the accounting officer and we commend them for really trying to ensure that the culture within the organization is improved. When we look at the CSM officials that are being posted abroad, we do know that some of them do not have a formal background or training. And we really then recommend that as the policy for posting this official, that it be then looked at very carefully and reviewed in terms of whether the people are sufficiently skilled and experienced to handle the financial matters relating to the different missions. Internal audit and audit committee, I think they also play an effective, a key role in terms of oversight. And we're really recommending that one, the action plan that is then developed, that it is properly identifying root causes as well as ensuring that the oversight and monitoring is happening effectively at that level to ensure repeat findings are avoided. Another recommendation that we've also made and discussed with the department is really to have the heads of political branches assisting the department by working closely with head of missions and corporate service managers to really understand some of the root causes for repeat findings in the respective mission, because we believe that this will assist in enhancing the audit action plan. In our engagement with the minister, what the recommendations that that they need to be follow up in terms of the accounting office. The above is closely monitored and implemented to achieve clean audit administration, meaning that the recommendations that we've made to the accounting officer needs to be monitored closely. And I think based on our various engagements with the Honorable Minister, we have noted that she is working very closely with the department around these matters. And we did receive commitment from her in terms of ensuring that the department is supported in achieving a clean administration in the portfolio. Looking at the recommendations to the portfolio committee, having discussed all the recommendations and the root causes and the findings that we've noted the department, from a portfolio committee, what we are really recommending is that there is monitoring and regular follow-up with the executive authority and the accounting officer, especially around the clearing of the disallowance account, because this remains a key area that is leading to a qualification in the department. We also recommend monitoring and follow-up around irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure and consequence management. And also just on terms of the controls that have been put in place in order to prevent non-compliance. We also recommend to the committee the monitoring around the filling of the vacancies in the DG and the CFO vacancies. And we believe that should these vacancies be filled, that will also ensure the stability in terms of leadership within the department. Also, it's important just to re-emphasize again that given the number of non-compliance matters that we've identified in the portfolio, it's important that there is a culture of consequence management that needs to be enforced in the portfolio. And Chair, maybe with that, let me pause and then hand over to the next presenter that will take us through a bit more detail in terms of some of the areas that we want to unpack, specifically around compliance with legislation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Madi. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, as well as Honorable Minister. But if you can just go to slide number 22, just want to elaborate. Yeah, one of the three key areas that we look at as part of our audit work is compliance with legislation. I think Madi has already highlighted at a high level in terms of that we do have some of the challenges that we have under compliance. So the department is actually still struggling when you look at compliance with legislation. So some of the issues that we're still identifying are instances where when we receive financial statements, we are still picking up on material amendments that are only corrected after the audit. So these are instances where we receive the financial statements and only after the audit is done, then management go back and correct some of the issues that we pick up in the financial statements. And also, the department is actually still struggling to prevent irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I'll also highlight in detail in the next slide on this one. And another area that I think is actually, if dealt with, can actually help. Still on the same slides, Madi. If that can be dealt with, relates to consequence management. The issue with consequence management is that in instances where there's no consequence management, that usually tend to create a culture whereby that it makes it okay to incur some of these non-compliances. So I do take note, and we are actually encouraged by the commitment received from the minister as well as the accounting officer, that is one of the key focus areas that going forward, then she will actually be looking at. So that will follow up in the next audit cycle. So, Mari, if you go to slide number 24. When you look at slide number 24, that talks to irregular expenditure. So that just provides more context into the irregular expenditure being incurred in the department. Once again, we commend the ARF for not incurring irregular expenditure in the current year. And that has been the case also when you compare to the prior years. So when you look at the department, some of the issues that come with the nature of irregular expenditure has to do with instances where local content requirements are not indicated in the terms of references. So these are instances where procurement is done on those industries, like such as your textile. So the requirement is that certain products need to be produced locally, and the department has not been doing that in the prior, and that resulted in a compliance finding from our side. And instances where the department has to obtain direct quotations, you find that they don't actually obtain the direct quotations, and those deviations are not documented and approved at the right level. And there are also instances where direct quotations are actually sourced, but unfortunately, the lowest quotation is not selected, and the deviations from that is not actually recorded and approved at the right level. And you will also find instances where there are payments, then you find those payments are not approved at the appropriate level in terms of the delegation of authority. And there are those awards that are made to suppliers that are not actually tax compliant in terms of the SARS compliance checks. So there are those awards that are made without those checks being made. And there are awards also made to suppliers that are not registered on the CSD as required by legislation. So those are some of the challenges that we identified that resulted in the department getting irregular expenditure. And the one worrying factor, when you look at the bottom right, the two graphs, picture, I mean, the two graphs at the bottom right, DERCO, you realize that irregular expenditure has not been investigated. That actually goes as far back as 2017, 18, and 18, 19, as well as the 2019, 20. So that is one area of concern that the department needs to start working on. So once again, we take note of the commitment from the minister as well as the accounting officer to start looking on the backlog that they have of the investigations. And then when you move to slide number 25, yes, and I'd like to here we just highlight the unauthorized expenditure that has been incurred by the department over the 2 years. So there is a slight reduction when you're looking at the unauthorized expenditure. But the issue here is that the department, because they are spending in foreign currency, so the National Treasury has actually implemented a ceiling on compensation of employees. Which then results in the department overspending on the current existing bond bodies on employee costs. Then that results in unauthorized expenditure. So this is one area that I think we continue having those discussions with the accounting officer to encourage them to keep on knocking at the door at National Treasury to ask for a more better funding in order to address the issue. And then when you move to slide number 26. Yeah, so this talks to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So this, I think this slide just shows a worrying trend, because when you look at from 2019-20 to 2020-21, so you can see there's a significant increase in fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So once again, without forgetting ARF, we commend them for not incurring any fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So some of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that has been identified in the current year. So 13 million of the 15 million relates to non-compliance in the current year, and the 2 million represents non-compliance in the prior year. So this mostly relates to cancellation costs as well as interest on overdue accounts that the department had to incur. So another similar to irregular expenditure. So this, we encourage the department to start investigating these instances and also to try and come up with remedies to rectify the issues going forward in order to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So you know, when you go to the next slide, Madi, slide number 27. Yes, consequence management. I think Madi spoke about consequence management in detail. So as I've already indicated, so the department has not actually been investigating the consequence management, the irregular expenditure, as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the past 3 years. So there is 2017, 18, 18, 19, and 19, 20. So the issue with this is that in instances where then the department does not investigate this non-compliance, then that might create those instances where people might think then it is okay to create those non-compliances, because there might not necessarily be consequence management that come their side. So some of the recommendations on this one is that we're saying there must be timely investigation of the reported irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and the disciplinary actions need to be taken against those responsible officials. The accounting officer needs to ensure that disciplinary actions are taken against staff that transgress procurement legislations. So that talks directly to consequence management. The accounting officer needs to enhance the action plan to address the repeat findings in compliance with legislation. So I think this is one of the key commitments that we received from the accounting officer. And we all from our side will also be following up on the implementation of the action plan for the 2021-22 financial year to ensure that some of the key areas that we have highlighted and our recommendations are actually being addressed. And the two key players as well, being the internal audit as well as audit committee. So we just encourage them to monitor the implementation of the action plan going forward in the department to ensure that all the issues and key areas of focus are being addressed. And when you move to slide number 28, so this one, I think, still talks to the issues of that we identified under irregular expenditure. So it's more or less what I have already indicated. But some of the, just to focus on the recommendation, so it's saying the accounting officer should implement an action plan terminated to address the audit findings. So we did actually see the action plan being presented in the audit committee, and we are encouraged by that. And from our side, we'll definitely follow up on the implementation of the action items on the plan. The accounting officer should enhance the SCM reviews and monitoring process to ensure compliance with procurement legislation. So this will assist to ensure that the department put controls in place to actually ensure that they actually prevent these non-compliances. Preventative controls will be strengthened to ensure irregular foodless and hospital expenditure is not incurred. This will prevent the issues. The accounting officer should ensure that a culture of consequence management is maintained and in the department. So the one thing that you will realize, Chair, is that Honorable Chair, that we are emphasizing more on has to do with consequence management. So this is one key area that we are actually will be focusing on in the next audit cycle. And we are still, just to highlight, just to reiterate that we are encouraged by the commitments by the minister as well as the accounting officer, that this is one area that they will be focusing on in the next audit cycle. And just to hand back over to Mari just to make the conclusions. Thank you, Chair, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Tabiso. Chair, we thought it is also important as we wrap up our presentation to just talk a little bit about the Public Audit Amendment Act, which is the act that regulates the work that we do as an audit office. And you know that in terms of this act, it was amended recently to extend our powers in terms of the recommendations that we do in terms of the findings that are raised through the audit process. And a concept that has been introduced around the public audit amendments is the concept of a material irregularity. And when we look at what a material irregularity means, it means that this is a non-compliance or contravention of legislation or fraud or theft or breach of fiduciary duty, which is identified during the audit and may likely result in a material financial loss, or can also result in the misuse or loss of a material public resource, and in some instances can also result in substantial harm to public sector institutions or in the general public. And when we look at this, I think what we want to highlight to the committee is that the issues of non-compliance as an audit office, we take them very seriously. And as we implement these extended powers, we are going to be looking closer to the non-compliance that have been identified. And as we look at this non-compliance that have been identified, one of the areas that we look at now is that, did that non-compliance actually result in a material financial loss? And as we do that, it's important that the department then becomes aware of the matters that we've been reporting around non-compliance and the risk that if these matters are not addressed, there is a risk that we might find the department having a material irregularity. And if you look at the material irregularity itself, this is where if we issue recommendations, those recommendations are binding. If we think that the matter needs to be referred to a public body for further investigations, in the event that we feel that the accounting officer has not taken appropriate action, this is where those extended powers are then exercised. In terms of the process that we have adopted as the Auditor General, is that we have selected on a phased-in approach some of the ODTs that we would implement this new material irregularity process. For the current year, DERCO and ARF were not scoped in entities for this for this process. However, in the next financial year, we are looking into scoping in DERCO and the department itself. So it's important that as we look at the non-compliances that we've been talking about, the issues around consequence management, that the risk around this matters relating in or resulting in a material irregularity be looked closely and be prioritized to ensure that, first of all, the preventative controls within the department to prevent non-compliance are then enhanced. And secondly, then the issue of consequence management, which we've been emphasizing throughout the morning, is also looked at. And as we close this presentation, Chair, I think what is important in terms of the message that we're sending is that the importance of the audit action plan, we cannot emphasize it enough. The issue of ensuring that root causes resulting in this non-compliance is, we cannot emphasize that enough. Consequence management, we cannot emphasize that enough. So we really urge the department to look closely into these areas. And as the previous presenter indicated, that the commitment that we have received from management, from the accounting officer, from the executive authority, it's really one that we take very seriously as well. And we believe that if that commitment is fulfilled in terms of addressing these matters, we are likely to see an improvement in the audit outcomes of the department. With that, Chair, maybe if I can hand back over to yourself and we can maybe continue with the rest of the agenda. I do note that you said that you would want the department and ARF to present before we take questions on our presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and the team from the Office of the Auditor General for the presentation. Do you have time, both of you, to be with us until we deal with the other two items?
Hi, Chair. Yes, indeed, we are here, Chair.
Okay.
That's here, excellent. So we can wait for you, Chair.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. We will now give over to the members of the portfolio committee. If there are initial issues they want to raise on this particular matter, you can then raise them, honorable members.
Honorable Chair, can I come in, Desmond Dier?
Yes, Comrade Desmond, you'll be followed by Honorable Nkosi, Honorable Bergman. And we concluded there. We will then proceed thereafter to the two last presentations. Over to you, honorable members.
Thank you very much, honorable Chair, for the opportunity. Greetings to all other honorable members present here in this meeting, and the minister. You are greeted, honorable minister, and all officials. Chair, the first point is to welcome the audit report from the presenters. We really appreciate the report. Well, there are a few issues that I think I must raise. One is that, as they've presented, the issue of internal audit committee. I want to suggest that the internal audit committee must start strengthening its work so that they can be able to identify red flags and work on those red flags immediately before it's too late. Because some of the issues that they are raising here, they should have been avoided by our own internal audit committee, because immediately when they identify, they can be able to work on those red flags internally before this audit outcome. Secondly, Chair, the issue of consequence management. I think we must also applaud the minister and the entire team for being able to start working on that, because it's one of the other matters that was troubling the department. In each and every financial year, when we receive audit opinion, the issue of consequence management was one of the other matters that is very, very serious within the department, which I think now the department under the leadership of the minister must start making sure that it even cascades down to all officials, so that they can be able to see that it's a very serious matter. One other matter, Chair, as I conclude, I think the department needs to look into the nature of their irregular expenditure, the issue of the requirements not indicated in terms of reference and all that, the issue of quotations, issue of payment without approval. These are the issues that the department must look into. And if the internal audit committee is working tirelessly, they can be able to avoid such issues where they award suppliers without non-compliance of tax statuses, awarding bidders who were not registered for central database supplier. These are the issues that they should avoid in future, Chair. But summarily, just to appreciate the report, and there's a room for improvement, Honorable Minister. I can tell you, there's a room for improvement. If the Internal Audit Committee can work closely with on those recommendations, I think when we receive the next audit opinion, we'll be far in terms of achieving what we want to achieve as a department. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Much appreciated.
Thanks. Thanks, Honorable Mwela. Honorable Dapma.
Chair, thanks very much. Just on around the report is also to appreciate the report. And I think with the new AG, apparently things were going to get tougher. And I know that from our side, I've been in this committee since 2015. And we've had these qualified reports with findings. The problem is that the reliance on what the auditor's been fed is, I'm worried that it's become less and less reliable, the information that they rely on. And I'm wondering that, it almost seemed complimentary, the report. You know, we're almost high-fiving and patting on the back some of the improvements that were made, although they're slight improvements, they've been standing for a long time. And I wanted to say that if we look at the irregular expenditure on the disallowance, that disallowance, if I'm not mistaken, could be things like when the diplomats, when they break things or when they leave the houses in such disrepair that Durka has to repair the place, that it comes out of the budget where it's not budgeted for. Now, we don't have a budget for that, number one. And number two is we should be clawing that money back from officials, and we don't do that. So we've had reports, we've had consultants, we've over the past, we've had the minister with a hole in her head that said that, I think she left more of a hole in Durko, that said that from 2017, she would have fixed this problem where we have these reports that have irregular expenditure. It seems that we've still got the irregular expenditure. So we leave it to the internal audit departments. But if we talk about consequence management, we haven't had consequence management. So we should be, as a committee, we should be looking to the audit committee to give us consequences, to say that there must be consequences to the minister and the officials as to if we cannot get certain things right 5 years down the line, there has to be consequences. And if there are no consequences, not even, it's not internal consequences anymore, it's consequences to the minister that if we're still not getting, if we're still having irregular expenditure that's not related to the fluctuation in the dollar rand rates, it's still the same supply chain management, expense management, inefficiencies of introducing an audit plan, there must be something that the auditor general can actually sanction us with and say, well, you know, the committee's not oversighting efficiently, the minister's not oversighting efficiently, and DIRCO's just got a blank check here, and they seem to be running riots. I mean, we've just come out of the New York, we can only call it the New York bluster, because two officials have run away. One minister's got away with it. And the only person to have actually been fired is the one person that had really nothing to do with it. So maybe it's time to look at the Auditor General to say, well, what does he believe is the best consequence management? And what is the sanction he believes that must follow up here? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Honorable Darakman. Honorable Chetty.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and good morning to the colleagues. Chair, I just want to add to what the previous colleague had said as well. We must be very clear here, Chair. This now for this committee and with your predecessor, there were three steps now we have dealt with. And each one was very similar in its nature. Nothing much has changed. Chair, the previous APP, with the AG's report came through to us, the whip, the Honorable Impanza, and myself were very voiceful around the fact that the ARF had a very good report. And the recommendation at the last meeting, Chair, was for that good practices from the department of the ARF is what DIRCO should be trying to implement in the other departments where we were failing. Now, this is a year later, Chair. And again, the ARF comes out tops and the rest of the department is lagging behind. So clearly, the recommendation and the concerns raised by the committee at the last review has definitely fallen on deaf ears. Secondly, Chair, there is clearly no consequence management in place in this department. We can see, and from the AG's report and the comments made, that due to the fact that there is no consequence management, officials do as and how they please. They do not take, and in the words of the AG, the lowest possible code that comes in, because they know for the fact that they can do as and how they please, and no one is held accountable. Also, Chair, when you look at the report that's come through to us, we've asked time and time again that until someone is charged criminally, this entire department will continue to act as a fiefdom for certain people who use this as their own money bags. The other thing, Chairperson, that I just want to raise, and with your indulgence, and that's to the minister that's here. The minister did inform us as a committee at the last sitting that she will give us the report on what action she was taking regarding the Facebook innuendos by the acting DG about members of the committee. Secondly, Chair, as to whether she was going to give us the report that she was going to share with the committee with regards to the investigations on the New York report, whether it differed from the recommendations of the committee regarding the charging and dismissal of the DG. At that point in time, she said, because the matter was very sensitive, she could not share it with the committee. But once it is resolved, she would. The DG is now gone. We're hoping that she can make that available to the committee. Third one, Chair, is that when is she going to investigate and take action about those other members involved, including the former ambassador, as indicated in the AG's report regarding the New York pilot shenanigans? And lastly, Chair, how long will the department take to ensure that both those positions of the DG and the CFO who were dismissed will be filled? The reason I'm asking this, Chair, is that in the absence of those heads, we are going to have people who are now going to act in those roles and do as and how they please. And I am not a fortune teller or a Sangoma chairperson, but I can promise you, the next time we're going to sit with the AG's report, you're going to see a far worse reflection. And the excuse is going to be, due to the fact we did not have a DG or a CFO in place, there were people who were just doing as and how they please with a lack of accountability. Thank you very much for the indulgence, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Honorable Nkosi.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my apologies for joining the meeting late. I think much of what I wanted to indicate really was raised. I just want to check with the AG the following things. The internal audit function, how materially not separate, how materially autonomous is the internal audit function such that reliance can be placed on its reports, both on performance and financial management? And also related to that, Chair, is that all the issues that are raised here by the AG are a demonstration, in my view, of the weaknesses of internal audits and its inability to provide reliable statements or reliable reports upon which the AG can take decisions or can authenticate, in a way, the finances of the department, including financial performance. Chair, I just want to raise that in specific terms on irregular expenditure, it is important that there is a commitment to investigate prior year irregular expenditure. But the reality is that this is an after the fact issue. 2017-18, 2018-19, 2019-20 financial year investigations had by now not been done. Irrespective of the commitment to do so, the AG should have been alarmed in year 17-18 that there is no investigation on irregular expenditure and therefore taken the department to task for not doing it so that there shouldn't be a recurrence of this. Now we've got a piled up a backlog in this regard. And in relation to that, it's worrying that the specifics of this non-compliance, for me, point out to possibilities of material malfeasance. You know, except for local content, it's three quotations not followed, the lowest bidder not awarded, payment made to by people who are not authorized to do so, no tax certificates, no regular, companies or entities paid which are not registered on the central supplier database. This poses a huge risk, in my view, and that it's important that we investigate that. I want to join Chair those who indicate that we are seeing an improvement in the finances of the department, et cetera, but however, the gaping holes still remain, and there is a need, as undertaken by both the accounting officer and the executive authority, to address this going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Nkosi. Honorable Swartz.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good morning to everyone. Chair, mind is that I'm always going to repeat it that first we welcome the report, but that we are always going to sit at this committee and commend improvements which, when they are reduced to the bone, cannot be actually commended as improvements, because as long as the department does not adhere to having a structure that has the relevant skills, especially in the finance division, where you have no chartered accountant, you have a borrowed skill and somebody that is seconded to DERCO to assist. And that we have a finance division at DERCO that do not have people who know what they're doing in terms of what is supposed to be done when it comes to rent and send. We are always going to have this problem. And we're always going to sit here and say, this one didn't do that, this one didn't do that. I mean, Chair, for real, if we can go back to recordings of this committee, we have been singing like parrots, repeating the same thing, repeating what the department must fix in order for it to get its reports from the AG in order. Now, for as long as we do not have a chartered accountant at DERCO and we do not have the relevant skills in the finance division, we are always going to have all these mishaps in that finance division. And we have always asked a question, which Honorable Nkosi has now repeated, which Honorable Chetty has repeated, that as long as we have these internal auditors, that in turn, we cannot fully say is assisting the department, creates challenges all the time. Because the internal auditors, we spoke about the challenges that we picked up as the committee and recommended what in terms of what we are doing as our oversight work, we see the gap where you have the internal auditors, vis-a-vis external auditors and all the advice that they get. But it is not assisting us because we are always going to come and sit here and find ourselves repeating the same thing over and over. And it is not going to assist us because the people in the finance division don't have the skill. And you know, it is very painful, Chair, that we are always saying that as a committee, we even requested CVs, their qualifications from DERCO to say who's who, what is what, where, and who is dealing with what, and are they relevant? And the answer was a big no. It was a big no. But we always get a presentation that is making us to believe that the structure is going to be fixed, the skills are being looked for, but it does not assist us because this sixth term will end and we will still be asking the same questions as this committee. And because we are not seeing the commitment physically being implemented, but yes, we've got tons of reports that we can produce, we are being told. But if we can go back and put each other to the task on time frames, the department is not coming to the party. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Swartz. Honorable members, in as far as the presentation of the AG is concerned, the matters that have been raised constitute 80% of the matters that we should be raised in the next two presentations. Sure. I will request that we park some of all those issues now, and maybe to make our lives a little bit easier, allow the minister to do the leadership in as far as the presentation of the next two issues are concerned, and we discuss them together, because I could see we were veering into matters that are pertaining to the next two items. Over to you, Honorable Minister.
Sorry, Chair.
Who is saying sorry?
It's Honorable Mbanza.
Yes, Honorable Mbanza.
I think you've forgotten my hand, but with
I forgot your hand.
I will
plead with you, Honorable Mbanza, that you come in the next round.
Okay, thanks, Chair.
Yeah. And thanks for cooperating. Thanks for cooperating.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Honorable Minister Pando, over to you. You will then make sure that you hand over to either the acting or whoever is going to be making the presentations, which are going to follow, both of them, following each other. Kialabohama.
Kialaboha, Mudula Stulo. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members, officials, and officials from the Auditor General's office. Allow me, Chairperson, to thank you for the invitation. to present our annual reports for 2020-21, as well as those of the African Renaissance and International Cooperation Fund. Chairperson, I'm just going to make these brief remarks, and then I will, as you indicated, hand over to the department. I think it's important, as we speak of 2020-21, that we recall that during this reporting period, our country entered our first hard lockdown, resulting from the COVID-19 pandemic. Our missions abroad, as well as the department and all public institutions, and all of us, had to learn how to grapple with the devastating impact that the pandemic had on traditional diplomatic relations. Despite the pandemic and worldwide travel restrictions, which severely impacted economic sectors such as tourism, we, through our missions, maintained a long-term perspective, focusing on increasing investment into South Africa through focused investment promotion. We also worked at promoting exports, identified new markets, and promoted South Africa as a preferred destination for tourists post the pandemic. All of these initiatives were aimed at combating the triple challenges our country is confronted by: poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And I hope our report will illustrate some of these. Bilateral political and economic engagements provided an important basis for strengthening our political, economic, and social partnerships in various regions of the world. But as members know, Chairperson, it was not possible to arrange high-level visits or in-person structured bilateral meetings during the lockdown. Instead, all countries resorted to virtual platforms, which we've all become masterful at utilizing for the conduct of essential business. The disruption that was caused by COVID-19 is unprecedented in this modern era. It has been one of the most difficult challenges that we faced as a department, and all of our officials had to deal with this complexity. We have, as a department, followed the public service prescripts at all times to ensure that the necessary health and safety protocols are in place to maintain a safe workplace environment while ensuring that productivity is maintained in order to ensure that we do act and deliver on our mandate. Remote working arrangements have been made more difficult by our department's shortage of the tools of trade. Our officials have been provided with data, and many have been masterful and really, I think, heroic in using their own personal laptops and their devices for their work. During the reporting period, our employee health and wellness unit did excellent work in enhancing our employees' physical and mental health, including providing for intervention
The minister is frozen.
Even worse across the world. Some of the latest international research reports indicate that developing countries collectively achieve sustainable development. This means that developing countries are back at ground zero with respect to the United Nations 2030 agenda, and now find themselves at the same level of development as they were when the Sustainable Development Goals replaced the Millennium Development Goals. The African continent especially has been severely impacted by the pandemic. many countries on the continent were and are not sufficiently equipped to be able to adapt as we could to business online. Access to Wi-Fi for many of them is not readily available, with the result that the voices of some of these countries have not been adequately heard or heard at all in various international fora during the year under review. For us, multilateralism remains a focal point of our foreign policy, including engagements in organizations such as the United Nations and the G20. Our engagements are premised on the need to advance the priorities that are in our national development plan and to advance our national interests and those of Africa and the Global South. The COVID-19 pandemic led to the postponement of key conferences and negotiation processes at the UN, such as postponement of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change Conference and the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity Conference. We also had to conduct UN General Assembly 75 in very, very difficult and different circumstances, similarly with BRICS and G20 summits. All of these were held virtually. We were thus able, through virtual means, to ensure the continuation of business. But as you know, online negotiations often made the drafting of relevant outcome documents much more difficult and time-consuming, and we do not always succeed in inserting our perspective. During the year under review, DOCO concluded the second year of its third two-year term as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. The term was defined by the theme all honorable members are aware of, which drew on the legacy of President Nelson Mandela following the anniversary of the centenary of his birth. We continue to build on the advances we had made in two previous terms in the Council and focused on implementation, particularly on promoting United Nations African Union cooperation, the Women, Peace and Security and Youth Agenda, and the peaceful settlement of disputes. Our SADC remains a primary vehicle for South Africa's foreign policy and for the promotion and achievement of regional development and integration within Southern Africa. We believe a stable and prosperous Southern Africa is vital if our region is to fully integrate and prosper. We became the incoming chair of the SADC organ on politics, defense, and security during the 40th Ordinary SADC Summit of Heads of State and Government in August 2020. The summit also approved the SADC Vision 2050 and the revised Regional Indicative Strategic Development Plan of SADC. In 2020, South Africa also became chair of the African Union. This presented South Africa with a particularly unique opportunity to advance the African agenda in both SADC as well as to harmonize in both SADC and the African Union and to harmonize its priorities of promoting Security Council decisions in support of the AU initiative of silencing the guns across Africa. The COVID-19 pandemic, however, meant that South Africa's strategy of hosting two summits during the year, one on the African Continental Free Trade Area and the other on silencing the guns, had to be postponed, and we had eventually to hold these summits virtually. During our term as chair of the African Union, our country's priorities were peace and security, economic inclusion of women, and continental integration through operationalizing the African Continental Free Trade Area. We also focused on infrastructure development to facilitate the Free Trade Area Agreement and promoted good governance and democracy through the work of the African peer review mechanism. The commencement of trading under the AFCFTA on January 1 this year signaled a concrete achievement under South Africa's AU leadership, one which we hope will significantly boost African economic development for many decades to come. Furthermore, under the able leadership of our President Ramaphosa, South Africa was able to coordinate the timely AU response to the COVID-19 pandemic, which included the establishment of the AU COVID-19 Response Fund, the appointment of special economic envoys, the establishment of the medical supply platform, and the appointment successfully of the African Vaccine Acquisition Task Team, which continues to do brilliant work. A highlight of our term as chair of the African Union was the appointment of President Ramaphosa by the Director General of the World Health Organization, along with the Prime Minister of Norway, Her Excellency Ms. Erna Solberg, as co-chairs of the Access to COVID-19 Tools Accelerator High-Level Facilitation Council. During the chairship, South Africa actively sought to promote equal access for all African countries to COVID-19 vaccines. Noteworthy is the fact that at the February 2021 AU summit, where President Ramaphosa handed over the chairship of the AU to the DRC, President Ramaphosa was appointed AU COVID-19 champion to allow him to continue the good work achieved under his tenure as AU chair. In line with the strategic objective of our approved digital strategy, the department has finalized the procurement of laptops and desktops for head office, and we expect to shortly embark on the distribution of these to all officials in the department. Unfortunately, Chairperson, as members have noted already, despite concerted efforts by our finance team, their hard work during the year under review has not led to us achieving the outcome we desire of a clean audit. I'm pleased to inform the committee that we have developed a comprehensive audit action plan, which I believe will ensure we address all matters that contributed to the qualified audit opinion the Auditor General's office has indicated today. I'm pleased that we've maintained an unqualified audit opinion on performance information, and we do undertake that we will strive hard to address the matters that have been raised by honorable members as dissatisfaction in terms of our performance, and we fully agree with the honorable members' criticisms. During the year, we made use of social media, and through our public diplomacy branch, we made a concerted effort to regularly update the department and our missions on relevant COVID issues and prepared targeted messages on a variety of matters, all of which were to be used by our missions during their interactions in their respective countries of accreditation. Honorable members would be aware that South Africa has been transparent as to its practice and policy in response to the pandemic, and we have shared our information worldwide. I wish, Chairperson, to specifically commend the consular services colleagues for their sterling work during the initial lockdown period, especially with the repatriation of distressed and stranded citizens abroad. This was an unprecedented and, I believe, hugely successful undertaking, which meant hard work by our officials. And I thank the honorable members, such as Honorable Member Bergman and others, who assisted us in supporting our citizens abroad. Our African Renaissance Fund has continued to be an invaluable instrument in the pursuit of the National Development Plan, its objectives, and Vision 2030, as well as the priorities of the medium-term strategic framework. the projects that have been implemented by the ARF during the reporting period have provided significant impetus to enhance the stature and public awareness of South Africa's profile as a responsible and trustworthy development partner. It reflects our attention to the seventh MTS priority, which is focused on international relations, that of a better Africa and world. And the ARF contributes immensely to this objective. The impact of the pandemic has been global in scale and reach, and this has necessitated coordinated international action to provide capacity to all countries, especially on our continent, to respond effectively. To this end, our president pledged support to international efforts aimed at the development of new vaccines to combat COVID-19, as well as the development of new tests to rapidly diagnose the disease. South Africa, through our Department of Science and Innovation, is co-investing with the European Union in the European and developing countries' clinical trials, partnership, rapid response program to find research cooperation between Africa and Europe on a broad range of COVID-19 related research. ARF is providing some funding in support of the initiative. The project is being implemented through BioVac, a public-private partnership in South Africa established with government in 2003, and one which has a mandate to establish local manufacturing capability for the provision of vaccines for national health management and security. During this financial year on which we're reporting, the ARF processed 177 million rands in disbursements. Of course, we need, I think, much more allocation to this very important fund, but we can only do with what we have at this time. I'm really pleased and congratulate the officials of the ARF for having maintained the clean audit opinion for the financial year we're reporting upon. Honorable Chair and honorable members, this just gives you a brief overview of some of the work we have been involved in this financial year. Thank you very much for allowing me to make these introductory remarks. And if Chairperson, you will permit, I now hand over to officials of the department to present the detailed reports to the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Minister, for the presentation. Yes, officials, you can proceed. I'm sure you'll be led by the acting DG, House Lucy.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good morning, Honorable Chair, and good morning to the members of the